Go to Acts chapter 9 once again. Last week I gave you a little bit of an introduction. I think I said point one of my introduction. And so we'll get to point two of the introduction tonight. You know, basically focusing on this title of commitment, of Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And, you know, in our lives, the closer we get to doing that all the time, the better we're going to be and what we're going to be, what God wants us to be in our lives as Christians. Let me just tell you this as you turn there to Acts chapter 9. But I'm finding out in my life, the less I do what I want to do and the more I do what he wants me to do, the better off I am. I'm just a slow learner, I guess, when it comes to that kind of thing. I wish now at age 46 that I would have figured this out a little sooner. Anybody have that sentiment? Okay, a few of you do. Great, great. And you know, I'm just now really really starting to understand that it's, you know, it's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's about what he wants to accomplish in my life. And I guess I could call it his life because it's not mine anymore, is it? And that's part of the key of all of this talk here. But if you'll stand out of love and respect for God's word, just a few words, a few verses here, and I'll let you be seated. And then just a few minutes, we'll get through point number two of the outline, okay? And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And skip down to verse, flip over the page over, I guess in my Bible it is, to verse 15, Jesus talking to Ananias. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And as we kind of think about this, don't dismiss those verses. You know, Saul was pretty ruthless. And yes, the Lord saved him. And yes, he gave over completely. But can I tell you something? That God had a plan for Paul's life, and it wasn't going to be easy. And Paul knew that. Christ didn't keep that from him. But when he got to the end of his life, he was able to say, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. You know, Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul said, I besought the Lord about this thorn in the flesh that I had. And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And he said, most gladly, therefore. You see Paul's attitude. Did he have a bad attitude? Knowing that this difficult life was going to come. When he gave his life over in full and total commitment to the Lord? No, he didn't. He wasn't bitter about that at all. He rather accepted it gladly. You know what? We might have to suffer great things for his name's sake, especially if we commit completely to the Lord. Are you still going to be willing to say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I hope so. And I hope I am as well. We've already talked about the essence of this thought and how we ought to look at it from the right perspective. You understand that we're supposed to be set apart. There's a sacred purpose for our lives. We're to be consecrated unto the Lord. God, in his sovereignty, he has given us a free will to choose. And you understand that when Saul was talking with Christ there on that Damascus road, He didn't have to say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? When he went into the city and he met with Ananias and the scales fell from his eyes, he didn't have to go along with the things that were coming up next. You understand, Saul at that time spent some time in the wilderness being taught by his own account by the Lord. He was the apostle called out of due time. And you understand that during that time, Jesus probably showed him all the things that were going to happen to him. You understand when Paul said before the king, King Agrippa, he said, look, I was not disobedient to that heavenly vision. He said, I accomplished that. I went to where? We talked about this when we went through the book of Acts. You understand that as he was journeying back to Jerusalem and those people were prophesying that he was going to be bound and killed and stuff. He didn't do it out of, I don't believe he did it out of trying to accomplish his own will. I just think he already knew that those things were going to happen to him and he was okay with it. He was okay that he was going to get arrested. It was okay because you know what? God told him he was going to go before kings. And that's probably how it was going to get accomplished. I don't know how many Roman officers and even rulers that Paul got to talk to while he was in prison there in Rome. But I'm going to guess it was not a few. We've got to decide that no matter what comes, no matter what the end may be, no matter what difficulties or even death, if you will, comes because of complete commitment to the Lord, we should be glad to make that choice. But it is a choice. Think about this. From the beginning, man was given a choice. Isn't that right? You understand that Eve was beguiled. She was tricked. Okay? Satan's a smooth talker. He can talk you into almost anything. Right? Or get yourself to talk yourself into something. Right? And how many times do people say the devil made me do it, right? That's not true. The devil may have tricked you into doing it, but guess what? Ultimately, you make the choice, and Eve did make a choice. She listened to the words of the devil. Instead of listening to the words of God, instead of listening to the word, more than likely, of her husband, Adam, instead of listening to that, she decided to listen to him, and she made a choice. But can I say something to you also? Man knew exactly what had gone down. There was no trickery with him. Satan did not speak to Adam, as far as we know. And he looked at Eve and what she had done. He knew what she had done. And he took of that fruit. He made a choice. I believe that Adam fully understood what was going to happen. I think he knew. And you know what? We need to understand that we have a choice. We have a choice whether we're going to obey or disobey. We have a choice whether we're going to serve God or serve ourselves. We have a choice if we're going to feed the flesh or feed the spirit. We decide. We have a decision of how we're going to manage what God has given to us, if we're going to manage it for our benefit or for His benefit. We have a choice with our children. Are we going to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, or are we going to raise them how we see fit to raise our children? We have so many decisions to make. And guess what? We have lifetime decisions, and then we have daily decisions. We have all different kinds of decisions. Obviously, your daily decisions affect your lifetime decisions. You understand that. Those don't just stand alone. But please understand that God does not force His will upon us. But He does give us all the information that we need to choose His will over what we want. Take your Bibles and turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. We are not robots. We are not, if you will, beings that don't have a choice. God has given us a choice. And he sets forth what the options are. He tells us what he wants us to do. And then he says, if you do this, this is what you're going to get. And if you don't do this, this is what you're going to get. So he lays it all out there. Can I tell you something? God's not trying to hide anything from you. Did he tell Adam what was going to happen? He did. He said, this is what I want you to do. I don't want you to eat of this fruit. I want you to take care of the garden. I want you to keep it. I want you to dress it. I want you to walk with me. Trust me. Talk, you know, he told Adam everything. He said, and if you eat of this fruit, you will die. It was full disclosure. He didn't hide anything. And today, folks, listen to me. God's not hiding anything from us. And I guess some of this nonsense today with these people that are out there making these accusations and things like they're forcing me to live this way and they're forcing me to do this. Nobody's forcing anybody to do anything. We're just telling you, look, if you live this way, this is going to happen. And if you live this way, this is going to happen. And guess what? Independent Baptist didn't make up the rules. God did. We're just saying, look, if you live this way, if you make these choices according to God's will, then this is what you get. And if you decide not to, then this is what you get. And guess what? I'm a pastor of this local church. The pastor of this local church. There aren't any others. But I'm a pastor of a local church. And I'm not the judge. Neither is any other pastor the judge. And all y'all aren't the judges either. But God is. And he's a faithful judge. And he's a righteous judge. And these things will be judged. Are you there in Deuteronomy 30? Look at verse 11. God says this, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. You see what God is doing? He's even debunking the things that they would say. Their comments that they would say. Or excuses is the word I really wanted to use. Their excuses. You know, well, it's up in heaven, so we can't get there. And, oh, it's across the sea, we can't get there. So God even brings that up and says, it's right here in your mouth and in your heart. He says, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. I love this passage of scripture. It depicts our God so perfectly. He loves us. He loved the children of Israel. He wanted them to succeed. And he said, look, I have set these things before you. And guess what, guys? I've even told you this is the good and this is the evil. I mean, that's how specific God got. He didn't even say, okay, I don't even have anything up here. All right. I have two vessels here for you. One of them's good. One of them's evil. Pick one. You know, God didn't do that. He said, look, here's the good and here's the evil. I'm setting them before you. Here's life and here's death. And you know, He's giving us everything. Our God is such a great God. And all we get to do is choose. What is so hard that we can't just say with certainty, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, I want to accomplish your will. I mean, what has, I have to ask myself this question. What has God done to make me ever doubt that he would lead me in a wrong way or right way. I shouldn't doubt that he wouldn't lead me in a right way. He'd never lead me down the wrong path. He'd never do anything to me that wasn't for the best. So why do we have such a hard time giving our lives completely over to him? Why did Adam and Eve have a hard time choosing whether or not to obey God's voice? Why did the children of Israel, after this being said to them, have a difficult time following after God, forgetting God, following after God, forgetting God, following after God, forget? Why? As he goes on, he says this in verse 16, "And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish." See, he's telling them. Can I tell you something, folks? As we look at this and look at these choices that we have to make, you understand, God has given us full disclosure. He's told us all the things that are going to happen. Just like I believe he told Paul, "Look, I've saved you, and this is what you're going to go through." And Paul said, "Okay." You understand that Paul was just as zealous as Saul as he was as Paul. And maybe as Paul, maybe a little more. He's pretty bold. You know, it's pretty bold to get drug outside the city and stoned to death and then walk back into the city after the Lord raised you up. That's pretty bold. Okay? Now, listen. It's the choice that we have. In John chapter 1, we know that the true light, Jesus Christ, was sent into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. You understand that when Jesus came, he fulfilled everything. Remember when he talked to Nicodemus, he said, "Art thou a ruler of Israel, and knowest not these things?" He said, you got to know. And he showed himself, and he did the signs, and he did the miracles, and he fulfilled everything. And listen, some did believe, but the majority rejected him. Why? Many times we as Christians look at the alternatives, and I don't know if it's we really don't believe God or what it is. I don't know what it is. Can I just be honest with you today? I won't say I want to be frank because my name's Eric. But I love that term, by the way. It's fun. I don't know why we choose to sin against God. I don't know why we choose to make our own decisions when everything is laid out for us right there. And yet we still do it. And I was thinking about this and thinking about my life. You know, there have been times, even in the ministry, where God had laid things out, and I made my own choice because of what I wanted. That's not being committed to the Lord. That's not being a Lord, what wilt thou have me to do, Christian? When are we going to learn that God's will is perfect? God's will is the right way. God's way is the right way. And the way God wants things done is the right way to do them. Not our own understanding. We talked way back at the beginning of the year that we should trust in the Lord, like Proverbs says, right? With all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And then he goes on to say, in all thy ways acknowledge him. All thy ways. See, we not just some of our ways. Not just the ways where we don't know which crossroads to take. There are so many decisions that we make every day that we have it figured out. We do. But where's that constant, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do mentality? Now, let me just give you just a little bit of a pause here. God is able to overcome. You understand that? Okay? God already knows what we're going to do, and I believe he kind of inserts himself in our choices, even if we do make our own choices. But can I tell you something? It has to do with us and understanding us. So I'm going to be transparent to you if you don't mind. When I graduated high school, I didn't necessarily know what I wanted to do. I was already saved. I was a Christian teenager. I went to church. I was in youth group, went to Christian camps, all of those things, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Can I tell you something? My senior year, when I was deciding on things to do, I did not pray about it one time. I did not ask a pastor. I did not ask my parents. I didn't ask any mentors. I didn't do any of that. I decided what I wanted to do. All by myself. Can I tell you something? You said, well, it worked out for you. No, I'm trying to tell you that wasn't the right thing to do. It wasn't. I wish I would have prayed. I wish I would have sought godly counsel. I wish I would have asked my parents. Now, would they have told me that the choices that I were making were the right choices? Perhaps they would have. But I'm just trying to tell you how I feel about it now at age 46 as compared to how I felt about it when I was 17 years old. I was my own man. I was making my own choices. And that's not how we should live our Christian lives. Now, I'm so thankful that God in His mercy and in His grace led me right to an independent Baptist church and an independent Baptist preacher where I finally surrendered to the will of God. You know, I was just as content to be in the Navy. If God hadn't called me to preach and brought me to that little church in Sicily, I probably would have chosen my next duty station to be on an aircraft carrier taking care of F-14s, that was my dream. By the way, F-14 is the biggest, baddest airplane we've ever had. Okay? It's my favorite anyways. Now, but God wants us to make the right choices based on His word, based on His will, based on godly counsel, and that's how God wants us to do things. Remember Romans chapter 12, Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's will is good. God's will is acceptable. When He lays it out there for you, it's something that you can accept. And by the way, you should accept it. And it's the perfect will of God. It is what God wants us to have for our lives. You say, but it sounds like a life of sorrow and difficulty and trouble. It may, but if it's in God's will, you're going to be happy about it. You can sing in at midnight in the middle of the dungeon and be happy about it. And you can say at the end of your life, I'm thankful I kept the faith and I finished my course. And you can do it with joy. You see, the Bible says that we need to acknowledge God in our lives. We need to let God accomplish His will in our lives. We need to make what He wants for us what we want for us. That's commitment. That's a Lord, what wilt thou have me to do mentality. I want to read just a few more passages of scripture for you tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says this, beginning in verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance, and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto them which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You understand, this isn't a mandate where we are forced to do this. But you understand, he says we're constrained to live this kind of a life, to make these choices. What constrains us? The love of Christ. You understand that because the Bible says, for God so loved the world, that it's true what it says in the Bible, that we love him because he first loved us. She said, well, okay, so you're telling me that because Christ died for me and I've accepted his gift of eternal life, then you're telling me I have to do this. No, I'm just saying you should. The Bible is saying that you should. Remember that we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, that we should walk in them. In Philippians, Paul writes and says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. By the way, that's not talking about, you know, you making it up yourself. That's not that kind of work out. What he's saying is, let the what's on the inside show out or work out so that others can see your testimony of your salvation. He says, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Yeah, that verse is just such an amazing verse. God's working in you to show his good pleasure. Let him. You say, I can stop him? Most of us are stopping him. We need to let him work in us. You understand when it says quench not the spirit, that the spirit can be quenched. I was going to say squelched, but you know, it came out squirit. I'm got word tongue tied, I guess. But the spirit can be quenched. God's work can be stopped in our lives, if you will, by us. We can hinder the work of God in our lives because we won't say yes. We won't be committed to God. We won't say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? We say, Lord, within reason, what wilt thou have me to do? So that it doesn't upset my apple cart. But we need to have that complete surrender and complete commitment to the Word of God. I hope that the second point of the introduction helped you to think about a few things.
We do have just one more point to the introduction. It's a 3-point introduction. But I don't want to take too much time. I hope that no matter what the Lord may have planned for us, that we decide of our own free will to say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? No matter what the cost. Because guess what? If I can quote my favorite song, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus.